special. Amen. And I tell you what, I hope that is your prayer this morning for Jesus to come. I wish he would come before we finish this service this morning. Take us home, and so much in that song. So such a great message and so wonderfully done, but so much in that song. I tell you what, when he comes, we have that ultimate hope. But until he does, we have hope as well. And praise the Lord for that. I am so thankful for that today. And I appreciate Sister Tracy's special. Appreciate the song service. Appreciate you being here as a part of our service this morning. And it is good to be with you today again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. One or two more sermons. How important is the Bible to you? How important is it? How much emphasis do we put on it in our daily life? How much do we partake of what it gives us? I've been preaching on that subject for a few weeks now, and I've done so and tried to show the value of the Bible, the importance of the Bible, by looking at some of the basic doctrinal teachings of the Bible that we find only in the Bible. Folks, remember, God's Word is our sole resource for the things that God has for us. All of our interaction, all of our knowledge and understanding, everything about God we have because we have the Bible. And I want to continue that this morning. I think the importance and value of the Bible can be stressed by the fact that I believe we are without a doubt, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I believe we are in the last of the last days. And he tells us that in those last days, perilous times will come. Folks, let me assure you today, we are living in perilous, perilous times. And we need that hope, Sister Tracy sang about. We need the hope that we can find only in the Word of God. That's how important it is. As usual, look over in chapter 3 into verse 16. Paul tells us to remember those things we've heard all of our life from the Scripture and from the teaching, and remember where they've come from and how that they have been there for us all of this time. And then he tells us this, to stress the importance of the Bible, the value of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. Of great value. Of great benefit. Beneficial. Folks, that is what the profitability of the Bible has for us today. It provides for us everything we need, as Peter said, for life and godliness. It provides everything we need for all that God has for us, that God wants us to know. And I pray this morning that we can find just that very thing. We've looked at how the Bible teaches us about prayer. Folk, everything we know about prayer comes from God's Word. That's how, and folk, listen, important. My goodness, prayer is important to us this morning. We looked at God's Word to tell us as Christians how to live in these perilous times with hope. How to find that hope and to separate ourselves from the things of the world and live for Christ. We've looked at salvation. We looked at the importance of salvation. Folk, there is nothing more important in your life today than knowing Christ as your personal Savior. If by chance you don't today, let today be the day that you do. we looked at the importance of salvation and the essential aspect of salvation. We looked at the author of salvation. Folk, you know how salvation came about? You know who established the plan of salvation and the plan of redemption? God did. And you know how we know that? Only from God's Word. Only from God's Word. Yes, now there's a zillion books been written about it, but folk, they all go back to the source and resource for their writing, and that is the Word of God. Today, I want us to continue along the thought of salvation, and I want us to see the means of salvation. How is a person saved today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father God, today I thank you for the privilege that you've given me to present your Word. God, I ask you for preaching grace to present it in the way that you would have me to. Lord, I pray today that you'll just rebuke Satan, remove every distraction. I want you to clear our minds from the things of the world and the distractions and things this morning, that we can recognize this ultimately important and basic passage of doctrine today as to how a person is saved. Lord, thank you for again all that we have in Christ, and we praise you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The means of salvation. How is a person saved? Summation in a nutshell. The means of salvation is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. Nothing more. Nothing more. I have always thought and have a deep conviction that this is one of the most plainly put, the most plainly demonstrated and taught passages of Scripture or doctrines of Scripture that there is in the Bible. The plan of salvation, the means of salvation, to me is so simple, so easily understood. Now there are some things in the Bible that are they're pretty deep and they're a little difficult, all right? This is not. And I think that's one of the grand things about salvation is the simplicity of it. It's not hard. It's not hard to understand how a person is saved. To be saved means to be, different terminology, born again, justified, come to know Christ as your Savior. I like the word saved. It's easy. It's simple. It was used many times by Christ and the apostles and the other writers of the New Testament, especially. And even in the Old Testament, we're going to talk about it a little some tonight, in the book of Isaiah. And it's saved, to be saved ultimately from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from sin and banishment into hell. Folks, we can be saved from that. That is the destiny, that is the state of a lost person this morning. They are not saved. They are condemned, already Jesus says, and they are literally on their road to hell, to spend eternity there in the horrors of that place. But we can be saved from that. Being saved from that gives us all of the hope that, again, Sister Tracy has sang about this morning. It gives us all of the hope that is ours as we live in the last days and the perilous times that come about in those last days. Folks, we have hope this morning, and it's a simple hope in Jesus Christ. It's not simple in that it doesn't amount to much, but it is simple in the way that we come to have it. Folks, I'm telling you, we have the blessed hope. That blessed hope is the hope in the return of Jesus Christ. That simple hope is knowing Jesus. I believe it's so simple and easily understood, yet it's one of the most misrepresented, one of the most distorted teachings of all of God's Word today. Folk, today we want to look into the one and only source or resource for the understanding of God's Word about salvation, and that is the Word of God. It's there that we find it. How do we know that Jesus is the means of salvation? We look into His Word. We look into the Bible, and we look into the very Word of God itself. In John chapter 14, the Scripture tells us, there in that beautiful passage by Jesus, He says, verse 6, John 14, 6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." That's the words of Jesus, the Son of God. That's the words of the One who is the means of salvation. "I am the way, the truth, and the light." Now, I've told you this 100 times or more. In the Greek language from which the New Testament was translated, one of the most important words in that particular passage is the definite article, "the." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." A definite article is just that. It is definite. With the definite article, "the," it tells us without any question, that Jesus is the way. It doesn't say, "I am one of the ways, I'm some of the way, I'm part of the way." No, "I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." Paul makes a declaration to a Philippian jailer over in the book of Acts, chapter 16. I'm not going to take the time to read all of that. Paul and Silas are in jail, and they have been put in jail because they've been preaching about Jesus. Persecution, I'm telling you. So they have been put in jail, and they have been just arrested for what we're doing this morning. What do? They're not trying to call their attorney. They're not trying to figure out some way to get out of this. They're not trying to call their local politician and say, "This is wrong, get us out of this morning." No. They're singing and praising the Lord, even in jail. And that in itself was such a testimony that when God freed them from jail through a great earthquake, and the bonds were broken off of them and such, that one of the Philippian jailers was about to take his own life, because if the jailer had allowed the prisoners to escape, he would have been executed anyway. So he was going to take his own life. Paul called out to him and said, "Do yourself, don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. Do yourself no harm. We're all right here." That Philippian jailer had heard them praying, had heard them singing praises to God. He had heard the message of Christ, maybe from them even before they were jailed. And he had heard their rejoicing in the Lord in that jail that night. And as he came before them, that Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, folks, some will say, "Well, he was talking about what does he have to do to save his life?" Well, nothing. The prisoners are already there. They're not gone anywhere. No, he was asking about salvation that he had heard them preaching about, praying about, and singing about. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul told him, he said, "Sir, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household." Now, all he told him, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't tell him anything else. He didn't add anything to it. "And thy household" doesn't mean that they could be saved by proxy if that man would be saved. No, what he said was, "You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, and it'll work for your household as well. It'll work for the others in your home in the same way." How did he tell the Philippian jailer to be saved? Call upon Jesus. Paul teaches this to us in a very familiar passage when he speaks to the church at Rome in Romans 10:13. For whosoever, that all-inclusive word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nothing else. That's a statement of fact. That's all he said right there. Jesus, in speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, in such a familiar passage of Scripture, Nicodemus asked him how a person was saved and how he could come to have the hope and the assurance of that salvation as Jesus is talking to him. And Nicodemus was familiar with Jesus because he actually came looking to Jesus. And listen to what he said. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, it tells us there, he says, "And as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him," the Son of Man being Jesus, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world," this is how he loved the world, this is how much he loved the world, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." Folk, you can dissect that. You can delve deeply into that in a deep word study and theological study, and you can dig just as deep as you want to, but let me tell you what it says. It says the only way to be saved is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So how do we know this doctrine? How do we understand this doctrine? Where do we get this doctrine? From the Bible. That's how important the Bible is. If we didn't have the Bible, you and me, I don't know about you, I've been to church all my life, don't ever remember not going to church and such. But if I didn't have the Bible, if there was no such thing as a Bible, we wouldn't know how to be saved because there would be no source for it. There wouldn't even be no resource for the information that we need from Christ. So that's how important the Bible is to us. Paul, again, over in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, he's addressing the Sanhedrin court after his salvation. Peter is declaring this before the Sanhedrin court. And he preaches them a very brief but a very pointed sermon there. And in that sermon, he concludes it by saying that there is no other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved. No other name. Folk, you can't be saved by any other name. Now, there are lots and lots and lots and lots, innumerable other religious groups out there, and religion is such a tool of Satan, but there are so many other religious groups out there, and they have a leader, they have a founder, they have something, they have someone, sometimes even distorted from the Scriptures and such, that they include as a part of their salvation. Folk, it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus this morning. He is the means of salvation. We have a very, very minimal part in salvation. And our part of salvation is to, by faith, receive the means of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. We place our faith in Jesus. We recognize the need. How do we come to know the need? The Bible tells us the reason we need it is because we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So there's a need, and we know that because of the Bible. We know that God provided the means. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that was a proof. For God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He proved, he demonstrated his love for us. Folk, I find that in the Bible. I don't find that in the New York Times. I don't find that in the bestseller, in the religious section in the bookstore. I find that in the Word of God. That's how important the Bible is. Folk, it's a gift of God. I love the fact that it's a gift. Everybody likes to get gifts. You know, let's be honest. Ready or not, we're coming upon the Christmas season. We'll be giving gifts, exchanging gifts. I love to give gifts. I love to see grandkids opening gifts. And I just, you know, but I like to receive gifts too. You know, I guess the kid in you never leaves. It's because you like being loved. This is the gift, the ultimate gift, that God sent His Son to die for us, that God as the Son came and died for us and rose again, and God as the Holy Spirit through the Bible, His inspired Word, calls us to that, gives us understanding of that, and therefore we can have the hope of eternal salvation this morning. It's ours this morning. It's a gift. For by grace, the grace of God is unmerited love, unmerited gifts of God. The gift of God, the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Some would boast of the Pharisees did, of how spiritual they were, and how special they were, how much they were doing for the Lord. I don't care how much you're doing for the Lord if you're not saved. You say, well, can people do things for the Lord and not be saved? Jesus addresses that in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, in that day many will come unto me, and he said, Lord, Lord, look what we've done. This is to paraphrase. You know, we've cast out demons, we've taught, we've done all of these great and wonderful things. Look what we've done for you. They're not saved, and Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Amen. Oh, the most horrible words that will ever be heard by mankind. Folks, it's Jesus, and I know that because the Bible says so. I'm glad I've got the Bible. I'm glad we have the Bible today. Folks, it is not dependent upon man's merits or accomplishments. It's not dependent upon keeping church rituals or religious rituals or anything else. Folks, listen to me this morning. I want you to see the importance of the Bible in what I'm telling you this morning. If you don't know Christ, folks, here's how you're saved. You accept Christ as your personal Savior. By faith, you put your trust in Him. By faith, you put your trust in what He did on Calvary. Now, I've read the account of Calvary, of Jesus' death, many, many times in the 40-plus years I've been preaching. I've preached on it, I've taught on it, I've preached on it, and I've preached on it, and I will, and I will. But I'm telling you what, folks, it's the Bible that gives it to us. And it is only Christ. It's not what we can do. Folks, listen. There are those that teach that it's in baptism. Believe in the Lord and be baptized. There is a passage of Scripture that says just that. But folks, I tell you what, be sure and read the next Scripture that comes after it. And it'll just knock their little sailboat out of the water in a heartbeat. Folks, listen. It's not baptism. It's not partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's not being a member of the Lord's church. Brother Sin. It's not reciting various creeds and sayings and things that man have written. It's not in all the church rituals you can think of. Salvation is in Jesus. Folks, listen. We talk about church membership. Church membership is very, very important. I don't believe a child of God will ever be, somebody who's truly saved, they will ever be everything they could be and should be until they are an active part of a New Testament church. I stress the word active because, folks, listen, I've been the pastor at this great church for 28 years. There are people whose name is on our church roll, that written piece of paper back there, that list on my computer in my office. They're on our church roll. I've never seen them. 28 years. Don't know who they are, where they are. I could ask everybody, and there's the few that were here when I started, and such. There'll be people they don't have any idea. Folk, listen, if they accepted Christ as their Savior, they're saved, but it wasn't because their name's on our church roll. We put too much emphasis on names on a piece of paper. Folk, listen, today, it's not even baptism. Oh, my goodness, Brother Sid, you preach baptism, you stress baptism. Folk, baptism's part of church. It's a prerequisite to church membership, and I think it's just like church membership. You'll never be everything you could be and should be until you follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, following in His steps, following the example of Christ, following the teaching of Christ, demonstrating that you have died in the old way, and you have been buried from that, and you have risen in newness of life. It's not in the rituals, or not the rituals. It's not in the ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Folk, listen. John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said, "Those born of woman, there are none greater." John the Baptist, the thief on the cross, the opposite ends of the spectrum. It's the greatest, according to Jesus, and the vile reprobate that is dying for his paying consequences of his crimes against humanity. Legitimately, he admitted that. They both got saved and they both went to heaven. I know that because the Bible says so. Neither one of them were ever baptized. Neither one of them were ever a member of a church. Neither one of them ever kept the Lord's Supper. Neither one of them ever did any specific rituals. Because those things had not been established yet. Those things had not come about yet. They were in the process as they were going through life and such. The thief on the cross was saved a few hours or just a very short time before he died. John the Baptist was beheaded before Jesus got very far into his ministry at all. He was not ever a part of the church. Because he was never baptized. Folks, listen. Now, there is an argument that those out there will say, well, they both lived before Jesus died, therefore it was a different dispensation and they didn't have to be baptized or be a part of the church. Folks, there is zero scriptural evidence that that'll hold any water at all. They were saved because they accepted Christ as their personal Savior, not because of what they had done. It's so evident. Folk, listen. Humanity today, we're living in the last days. Amen. We're living in perilous times. The religious world, and I know I mention this a lot, but I'm telling you, because we live in the last days, this is so, so, so important. Because we're living in the perilous times of the last days, folk, I'm telling you today, what this world desperately, desperately needs today is salvation, and that comes only in Jesus Christ. And they have to hear about that from you and me. You know how I know that? The Bible tells me. That's how important it is. You know what the Bible tells us to do after we're saved and baptized, and after we become a part of one of His churches? We're to go out there and win the lost. We're going to go out there and teach them. The word teach there means to disciple. And then we're to teach them about baptism and baptize them and bring them into the church. And then we are to teach them to share knowledge, that definition of teach, to share knowledge with them of the things that Jesus has taught us. That's what we're to do. Folk, today, because the Bible has told us all of these things, because the Bible is so important, it is so valuable, it is so glorious and so wonderful this morning, because of what we have in the Bible, we must, as children of God, not only get excited about that, rejoice in that, pray for the hope of Jesus coming that we have this morning, but we must be telling others about Jesus Christ and His salvation, because time is running out. I believe the next great event on God's prophetic calendar is indeed the coming of Jesus Christ to take His children out of this world. We call it the rapture. That word is not found in your Bible, by the way. The rapture comes from a word from the Greek to the Latin and a combination thereof, that means to snatch away with great power. I promise you that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes. Whew. He's going to come and snatch us away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, read the first 18 verses of that after a while. And it tells us exactly how it's going to happen. Folk, and when that happens, yes, you can still be saved after the rapture. But I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult because of the consequences. It's going to be a very trying and difficult time. You don't want to live past the rapture in this world and face what's coming with the Antichrist, the tribulation, and the things of those events. This is going to last for 7 years. Be the most horrible years humanity has ever seen. Folk, listen to me today. Everybody in this building, and I know this for a fact, we have family, we have friends, we have co-workers, we have neighbors, we have people that we are as close to as family. We have acquaintances that are just distant acquaintances. Folk, I'm telling you, every one of them, there's many of them. Most of them need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it's our task to tell them that. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. Let us be a witness of Jesus. Let's don't be a witness of religion. Brother Sia. Let's don't be a witness of religion. Let's be a witness of Jesus Christ. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man's going to come unto the Father except by accepting Him through faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Folk, I'm glad today that I have a Bible that tells me that. I'm glad as I was growing up as a kid that there were Bibles in our home. And that there were Bibles being taught at the church that I attended most all of my life until I was 20 plus years old and began to preach. I'm glad that I have an understanding of the Bible. I ain't got it all yet, but I get a little more every week. But I'm glad I understand that if you want to be saved, you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And you know when the best time to do that is? Paul told us over in the book of 2 Corinthians. Now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Folk, Sister Tracy sang about the hope and praying for Jesus to come. Folk, I hope we don't have tomorrow. I hope we don't have tomorrow. I want Jesus to come. And I want you to go when He does. Lost friend today, don't leave without Jesus. Child of God, we've looked at this. I don't think I've taught you anything new and exciting. It's always exciting. I've not taught you anything you didn't probably already know this morning. I hope you knew it. Hope you have a little better understanding of it. And I hope that you realize the importance and the value of the Bible, because everything I taught you this morning has its source and resource. These grand old books we call the Bible. This morning, do you need Christ? While our musicians come, we have a hymn of invitation, as we've come to call it. I want to invite you to Jesus. I want to invite you to the one that provides for us the hope of eternal salvation. I want to invite you to Jesus if maybe you're a child of God and you have a burden or a need. You're a child of God and you just don't know what to do and where to turn. Maybe this morning you just need to renew a commitment to the Word of God. I'm going to get in it more. I'm going to study it more. Whatever you need this morning, it's in the Bible that'll help you with it. While we stand together and sing together,